Today's episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up to date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next. And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk for this Tuesday, June 8th. Great to have you back with us for another program here this afternoon. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us. MarketTalkAg.com. That's our home on the web. You can find a lot of great stuff there. The all-new revamped MarketTalkAg.com. Find all of our streaming sources. Watch past episodes, current episodes, and much more. It's all online, markettalkag.com. Another wild day in the markets, mostly higher, but we got plenty of stuff to talk about. Let's bring in Jim McCormick with agmarket.net. Jim, good afternoon to you, sir. And another interesting, wild day in this market trade. I got to imagine you guys got the coffee brewing, and you guys have been busy around the office there, Jim.
It is definitely busy, and the markets are volatile. I mean, fun and simple, I've been doing this for 25 years, and this is probably some of the craziest trades you've seen in the month of June. It feels like we're trading July weather in June. I think it just shows you, you know, when you got tight carryout, you got kind of drop building, everyone wants to be the first one in. The volatility is high, and it can be exciting. And when you're on the right side of the market, you can be very frustrating on your downside. And the hard part about it is that can happen within a 5-minute span.
That can happen within a 5-minute span. You know, we were higher overnight. We got some new weather models in, and then we turned the spring wheat crop lower on the board today. And we were off session highs as well, pretty much across the board for the most part, especially corn. We were off the highs of the day. Let's talk that drought, though. The weather models are out there. There's a lot of conflicting weather models, and that seemed to be the big driver today, especially on that spring wheat chart, as we're getting some rain forecasted for the Dakotas. We know they need it, but we just know the northwestern half of the Corn Belt almost is just really dry right now, Jim.
Exactly. And what's going on, folks, is there's three really weather models everyone's looking at. The first one is the GFS model. That's the American model. It's free. Anybody can get it. It's very popular to trade because we get a 6 o'clock run that we get before the night market settles, and then we get a run right around 11 to 12 midday models. So you see a lot of traders like to trade that. And that one's actually trying to pull rain into the northern Corn Belt right now, into the Dakotas, plain and simple. And that's why we're seeing some weakness in the wheat market today, because there is some pop-up showers hitting North Dakota as we speak, and there's more rain in the forecast. But the other two models that we watch are the European model and the Canadian model. The European model, you got to pay for it. It's not free, so a lot of traders don't get that one. And that gets updated after the market closes. And what we've been seeing is that model, those two models have been trending drier, which is pushing most of the rains north into the Canadian prairie. So what we're seeing is the market tends to firm in the overnight market when they're looking at the European and Canadian models. And we tend to weaken when we get the American model, as they're kind of battling out of who's going to get the rain. Now, the one thing I'm looking at, Jesse, about these models, where they're both at this point trending that no one's really talking about, is Iowa and parts of Minnesota. If you notice those model runs, folks, it's that part of the country is not getting the rain. And I think that is a real concern. The fact of the matter is the Dakotas, they need a lot this year. We picked up about 2 million acres of corn compared to a year ago. And we lost some of the corn out of the ice states and pushed it into the Dakotas. But the reality is Iowa is the big heavy hitter for the corn market. If, you know, so goes Iowa, so goes the corn market in a lot of senses, price-wise. So if we start missing these rains and the Iowa crop starts to deteriorate, the market's really going to get excited over the next couple weeks, I believe. So we've got to see if these models are right. But right now, they're looking a little bit dry to me for that part of the country.
I'm glad you brought that point up, Jim. I mentioned that, I think I mentioned that maybe yesterday, or it was Friday on the show. Almost feels like Iowa could be a swing state right now, like an election. It's at that point to where it's dry, and I was just up there here over the Memorial Day holiday. It's dry, north central Iowa, northwestern Iowa. It could go one of two ways. If we catch some rains, we're going to be okay. But if we don't, to your point, that's going to cause some fireworks in this market, and it's gonna get tough there if we don't catch some rains in Iowa and into southern Minnesota as well, to your point.
Yeah, and if you look at Iowa, look at the subsoil moisture, look at the amount of water actually in the soil. What we're seeing, it is very, very dry. They did get some rains here recently in parts of the state, which kind of got them through, but this heat and wind we've seen the last week, 10 days, there's just not a lot of moisture in the ground. So if we do not keep getting spoon-fed week to week, day to day, I think you're going to see this market back down. You know, the yield talk drop down fast, and then the market's going to respond. Remember, folks, we don't have a big carryout. We're talking a carryout for somewhere around $1.2 billion. $1.25 is the current estimate for the old crop carryout. The new crop carryout was only around $1.5 here. We're going to get revisions here at the end of the week. There isn't a whole lot of room for error. So if we start trending these yields off a trend, now mind you, Jesse, remember, trend yield is actually technically 3 bushels better than the best crop we ever had. Personally, I don't think we can have trend yield. I think the damage is done. We're just too dry in the Western Corn Belt. The question now is, can we hit our record, which is 168.5, roughly? And that's even, I think, getting really hard to achieve. So if we start talking yields closer to, you know, low 170s, we're going to have to go higher or actually demand, folks. Plain and simple.
Very, very true. You know, I heard quite a bit of talk of some farmers selling yesterday as we've gotten this rally in here. I think a lot of farmers who maybe missed out on the rally last time were making some sales or making some more sales. And then, you know, seeing some talk of maybe some fund buying today. But on the point of farmers selling, what are your thoughts on that? Have you heard the same, that we've maybe seen a little more farmers selling just with the way these grain markets have rallied the last couple sessions?
I think we have seen some farmers selling. I'm kind of encouraging producers with old crop to really get a little bit aggressive on what they have left. Personally, our contacts within the commercial market is telling us a lot of these end users have got their needs covered through the end of July into August. And I don't want you to be the producer out there who goes there late July to try to sell that 50,000, 100,000 you may have left over, and all of a sudden find out, hey, they don't need it. Because, you know, you got to remember that end user goal is to have that bin completely empty the first day of harvest, when you got to look at the premium of old crop to new crop. So, you know, we just don't know what end user is done by. I mean, at this point, there's certain some out there, I'm certain, that are pretty much hold the bids for old crop and just wait. It's only new crop bids only. New crop, people ask me, should I be selling it? Well, heck, look, you're looking at $6 corn. You're looking at $14.50 beans. If you haven't sold it, look at your economics. Look at your break-evens. You're making phenomenal dollars. Now, Jesse and I just talked about how bullish it is to be for the rain. But the reality is, it's what? We don't know what's going to happen. You know, we end up getting rain, and we get a change in the flow, and the jet stream moves just a little bit around, and all of a sudden, we're getting generalized rain in Iowa. You could see the top be put in sooner or later. So why not reward these markets? Start hedging it. Now, with that being said, our group has been very constant saying, if you do sell grain, you've got the luxury. The prices are so low to go ahead and take some of those profits and reinvest in either a call or vertical call spread or out of money call. Because on the bullish side of the equation, if we do stay dry, we could go a lot higher. The $6 sale for fall delivery could feel like the $4 sale for spring delivery felt this year. A lot of guys sold some $4 plus spring delivery corn last fall, thinking that's a great price. And they felt pretty sour about it, disappointed when their neighbors were selling $7 plus corn because of the rally. If we are dry this season, folks, the question is, how high do we have to go? And the reality is, no one knows. The only thing I can point out, Jesse, is look what the price of lumber is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubled, if not tripled. It's all time high. Some of that is shortage. Some of it's just money pushing it in. So if we got an inflationary play, you got some heat in Iowa, drought talk by 2012, you know, the sky's the limit potentially. So use that profit, lock in some of the profits, and then take some of that money to reinvest would be our recommendation.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's kind of like putting that target up there, way up there. It's saying, you know, hey, if everything goes, you know, awry, you know, maybe I throw up a target at $8 corn or whatever the case may be, something crazy, whatever you're comfortable at going up at that level, Jim.
Exactly. I mean, what we're looking at, a lot of my customers will tell me, you know, if I sell corn, I say it's $6 and it goes to $6.50, it's frustrating. It's not a game changer. The problem is, you sell $6 corn and for some reason we're hot and we're dry, and we've got to go into a rationing mode, and we go to $8, $9 corn, that's when you might say, look, I'll buy a $7 call. Even though it's out of the money, I'm buying, in essence, crash insurance in case this market really goes higher. The other reason why I'm encouraging producers to buy calls is Let's just say we do happen to go that high, Jesse. The reason why we're going that high is probably because somebody's not producing the crop. And it may be you, unfortunately, producer. If you're the reason why we're running up, you want to be able to have those calls to maybe offset some of those cash sales you made. You do have crop insurance in most instances, so you'll collect an indemnity on crop insurance and the calls that you bought, offsetting the lower cash sale. In a worst case scenario, have some call premium to buy out of those cash sales if you cannot make the delivery.
Well, Jim, the other thing too that, you know, we're talking a lot about weather. We're trading a weather market here right now, but we got that June WASDE report coming up on Thursday, and I think some folks are maybe letting that go to the back burner here a little bit, but that's coming up. And I know the biggest thing we're watching there is the Brazil number. Everyone's pretty much anticipating that that Safrinha corn crop number is going to get cut by USDA. The question is how much, and I think that's going to play into our markets too as we get to the back half of the week here, Jim.
Well, there's no doubt about it, folks. What he's looking at, the Brazil crop was over 110. It's governed, what I believe, is around 102, 103. A lot of people around at 96, 97. But there's a few people down near 90. And in reality, folks, the reason why this is so important, if you get that production down for 90 million, the reality is there's a shortage in the world. If you get it around 96, 97, maybe Europe and, you know, the Ukraine can fill that void. You get it down to 90, it is going to force U.S. exporters to come up with more grain to export to fill that void. So it's a crucial number. The world stocks are very tight right now. And, you know, I think we're probably going to be below 95 when it's all said and done. We're guessing 97.5 is our group estimate, just simply because USDA tends to walk that number down instead of chopping it hard. But we definitely think the trend's lower, and in the long run, that should be bullish U.S. demand.
Definitely. Very, very true. Jim, looking as well over here, let's shift our conversation to livestock, cattle, and hogs today. We're fairly mixed, just kind of sluggish trade, it seems. I know cattle, we've been range-bound. We got a lot of issues in this cattle market, but any thoughts from anything you saw today looking at the cattle market?
Right now, I think sluggish is the best way to put the cattle market right now. I think, you know, the box beef market continues to stay very strong as a whole. The economy's opening up. People are going out to eat. I live outside of Chicago. Illinois officially goes full open this weekend. No limits of capacity. The Cubs will have a full crowd here when the Cardinals come into town. And, you know, you're going to drive that demand on the box beef side. But the problem is you can't see much change in the cash market. Cash market's been at, what, 120 forever. And the reality is there's a lot of cattle need to be moved. The producers, you got grasslands burning up in parts of the country in the Northwest. You got a lot of expensive corn. So the fact is there's just plenty of producers willing to sell cattle. We're kind of stuck in this no man's land where the markets, you know, the box beef says buy it, but the oversupply says sell it. And I think we're going to fight that near term. The pork on the other side continues to trend higher. It just, I guess pigs can't fly as high as it keeps going. But as long as the demand stays strong on the export and the domestic front, that trend should be intact. Hopefully that will support the cattle eventually as, you know, compete for the protein. But like I said, the cattle market is just kind of a frustrated market right now.
I love how you put that. Pigs can fly, apparently. And I think a lot of folks are thinking we might be closing in on a top here, but we've been saying that for a few weeks in the hog market. We know there's a lot of strength there. On the cattle side, though, a lot of folks I've been talking to, hearing from, they're really optimistic third, fourth quarter, thinking that cattle could find their way around. We just got to get to that point.
I would agree. I mean, right now, the biggest problem is we kind of got a glut with people trying to get these cattle moved. They want to get rid of the high price grain price. The economy should stay relatively stout. I mean, there's a lot of people looking at record GDP. I think we're going to see a lot of bursts in demand for consumer spending this summer, but I got to believe you're right. It's going to bleed all the way to the third, fourth quarter. I got to believe the holiday season, they will be, you know, after no one really being able to celebrate the, you know, holidays with maybe just, you know, immediate family, corporations, I think, will have money, really want to go out and try to, you know, celebrate the holiday season. So, yeah, I think you've got to be bullish in the long run on the demand front. But right now, we're just kind of an imbalance. It would be nice if the end user would pay up for cattle. We know he's got the money to do it. Just the reality is he doesn't have to, and he's choosing not to.
Jim, as we get close to wrapping up here, anything on the outside markets, the macro side, or anything we need to watch there? I know we've kind of focused a lot on demand, weather. Anything else that we need to be watching as we're looking at the markets this week?
One thing I just kind of keep an eye on, the crude oil market, the energy market, that's really kind of crucial. As the crude oil teams that work higher in general. That should help the ethanol demand and, you know, keep the ethanol market competitive. So watch the energy market. The other market, I'm just, you know, keep an eye on the U.S. dollar. The dollar kind of chops around a lot. The weaker the dollar, that just helps the export demand for the market. You know, China's been a very aggressive buyer of grains lately for old crop and new crop. As that dollar weakens, it just hopefully will keep them competitive. I know we're guessing, my guess is the government's going to have to raise exports for demand for both corn and beans for this year. And I think they'll do it again for next year. And like I said, the weaker the dollar goes, that should be bullish commodities. So kind of keep an eye on that as well.
Be interesting to watch the reports coming up and the weather models and everything else. And I know, Jim, you and the team there at agmarket.net, you guys are able to help producers with questions and concerns. You guys have a lot of great stuff, a lot of great ways to reach out to you guys.
Yes, you know, you can find us on Twitter. I think the best way to get a hold of us and look for our research is go to agmarket.net. We put out our research. You can subscribe to it. And if you have any questions, give us a call.
Jim, appreciate the time. As always, great to catch up with you, my friend, and we will talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Have a good week.
Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net, our guest today here on Market Talk. Find us online, MarketTalkAg.com. This has been the Tuesday, June 8th edition of the show brought to you by GrowMarketFS. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.